Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name.
Lesson 88, A New Dawn. In today's lesson, we have the greatest news ever told and the dawn of a new era for all mankind through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though hated and rejected by men, hung on a cross to die a shameful death, the story does not end with man's treachery and rebellion against God's Son, but the story continues through the victorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When some of the women who knew and loved Jesus went early on Sunday morning to visit the grave, hoping to anoint his body with spices, they were shocked to see the stone was rolled away. In their confusion and excitement, they went back and reported to the other disciples. Mary came to the disciples first, and when Peter and John heard the news that the grave had been disturbed, they quickly ran to see what had happened. Peter went inside the tomb and found the grave clothes and the cloth that had been wrapped around his head folded in a place by itself. While Peter was marveling and wondering about what he was seeing, we are told that John also went in and saw and believed. Afterwards, they leave the tomb, but Mary continues standing by the tomb weeping. Mary then sees two angels inside the tomb who ask her why she is weeping. She said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she turned around, she saw a man standing there, and the man also asked her why she was weeping. She thought it was the gardener, and said that if he had taken the body away, he should tell her where he is, and she will take him away. It is clear that Mary loved Jesus very much, and could not bear the thought of his body not being given a proper burial. At that moment, one of the greatest of all things in history took place, for the man who had been talking to her was none other than Jesus himself, raised back to life. When he said, Mary, she recognized him and said to him, Rabboni. We can only imagine the joy and excitement in Mary as she beheld her Lord and Master standing there before her. It seems that she must have clung on to him, for Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, but go tell my brethren I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Later that evening, Jesus appears again to his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem and greets them by saying, Peace be with you. He showed them his hands and feet, and the disciples were glad when they saw the risen Lord. Thomas was not present with them, though, and when they told him they had seen the Lord, he refused to believe unless he saw the wounds in his hands and in his side. Then some days later, they were again gathered together, and Jesus appeared, and this time Thomas sees him. Jesus told Thomas to place his hand in his side and his finger into his hand, and to stop doubting and believe. Thomas was astonished for sure, and confessed before Jesus and the others, My Lord and my God. This is a very important statement that Thomas made, for he affirms what this whole gospel has been trying to show to us, and that is that Jesus is God. When Thomas said these words, Jesus did not correct him, but said he was blessed for knowing this, but even more blessed were those who had not seen him and yet believed. Some want to believe that Jesus is less than the Almighty and Eternal God, and yet when Thomas referred to Jesus as his God, he would have been incredibly deceitful and wicked to allow a man to believe and address him as God if in fact he were not God. This confirms for us very clearly that Jesus accepted Thomas' words as his true identity. John has told us these things and everything in John's Gospel for the distinct purpose that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing we might have life in his name. This Gospel was written to help you and I find eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ and believing that he is God's Son, God manifest in the flesh. As we consider this amazing historical record of the resurrection of Jesus, it provides us the greatest message ever told. This is not simply a fanciful story of some zealous but ignorant fools. This was the record confirmed not only by those who saw him, but by the power and hope that his resurrection has given to all those who place their faith in him. He did not only appear once, but several times to different people and groups of people. The resurrection begins for us a whole new era for human history, like the dawning of a bright new day full of hope and joy. The resurrection sends us the message that God has accepted the sacrifice of Christ as satisfactory payment for our sins. It also tells us that Jesus has overcome death and entered into heaven's glory. The Bible calls him the first fruits of resurrection, which means the full harvest is yet to come. All those who belong to Jesus will also experience a resurrection from the dead. When the Lord returns to take his church home to heaven, then all the Christians of all ages will be raised up from their graves, and their bodies and souls will reunite. The resurrection body will be a glorified body, like the glorious body of Jesus in heaven. It will be a body that shall never see decay or corruption, and that cannot die. Even those Christians who are still alive on the earth when the Lord returns shall be changed and given this new resurrection body. The resurrection body is still not fully known to us, but what we do know is that we shall be like the Lord Jesus and share in his glory with a body that will never corrupt or die. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, explains that our bodies are buried like seeds in the ground, but in the resurrection they will have a glory that compares to the plant that is formed from the seed planted. This tells us that the resurrection body will be much different from the original body, but still the details of that body will be found in germ form in the original body that was planted. What a wonderful hope for every believer in Christ. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. Because he for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we heard the greatest news ever told and about the beginning of a new dawn for humanity, filled with hope and the promise of eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was seen by his disciples, who at first find it difficult to believe, but seeing his wounds, they are convinced that he is more than just a man, but he is their God, and they worship him. Someone might ask the question, can a person who does not believe in the resurrection be a true Christian? The simple answer to this question is no. But let's find out why a person who denies the resurrection cannot be a true Christian. Our hope of salvation rests on the fact that Jesus not only died on the cross, but was buried according to the Scriptures, and most importantly, he was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. In order to fulfill all that was prophesied about the Messiah in the Old Testament, it was necessary that he must rise from the dead. Also, if Christ did not rise from the dead, what hope could any of us have for eternal life? Jesus was God's demonstration of his mighty power to raise the dead. His resurrection ensures us that God's promise to raise up all who believe in him will come to pass. The Bible says, if Christ be not raised, then we are of all men most miserable. This is because all that we live for and all of our hope is based on an empty promise. But praise be to God, Christ is risen indeed. We have the historical evidence, the prophetic evidence, and the outworking of Christ's life in all believers that gives us power and a sure hope. If we believe in a dead Savior, then our religion means nothing, and when we die we shall turn to dust with no hope of eternal life. To be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus is alive, otherwise you are following a man that is dead and can do nothing for you. If Jesus conquered death and has power over life and death, then he has the power to rescue us from death and raise us up to be with him in glory. Notice what the Scripture says about salvation, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This verse from Romans shows us clearly that it is essential to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead in order to be saved. Therefore, no one can be a true Christian unless they believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Often at a baptism, the question is asked of the one being baptized, "Do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead?" It is based upon a confession of Jesus as Lord and belief in the heart that God raised him from the dead that brings about our salvation, and therefore baptism can be conducted in obedience. If we believe that Jesus is alive, then we know we are actually talking with him when we come to him in prayer. We also know that when we gather to worship, we are worshiping someone who can hear us and enjoy our praise. By faith, we also know that we can preach Jesus to others, knowing that they too can be saved and pray to a living Savior. We must be careful that we do not have a formal, ritualistic religion devoid of true faith and a living relationship with the risen Christ. If we do not believe he is alive, we can have no relationship to him, and our prayers would not be heard or answered. When we truly believe that Jesus is alive, it changes everything, for now our hope is in heaven and not on earth. This means we should expect Christians to be more concerned with storing up treasures in heaven than riches in this world. When we see Christians who live for the comfort and riches of this world, then we begin to wonder if they really believe Jesus is risen. It is not consistent to believe in a living Lord ready to judge this wicked world and yet to live as though he cannot see or cannot hear. If we ignore his words to deny ourselves and take up our cross, then his resurrection might be a nice idea, but we act as though we really don't believe it. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only important to believe for our salvation, but also the evidence of our belief is seen by the manner in which we live as Christians. Can people tell that you serve a risen Savior, not just by your words, but by the way in which you live? And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 and verse 20. just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed the miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I'd denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet. As I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open.